Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Finishing the regular season 14-2 in the month of May, the Bruins on a roll in the NCAAs. We are joined by assistant coach TJ Bruce. And coach, congratulations. I have to mention, we are pre-taping this interview. It's just before the Super Regionals, which the Bruins are going to host. You're coming off a great regional performance, 13-5 over Creighton. When did this Bruin team learn how to bash?
We've done a good job, I think, all year. I think it's, you know, it goes back into September, and that's kind of what these days are made for. And got to go back to, you know, your roots, and that's where it comes from. And they've worked hard. Experience helps. The young guys have done a fantastic job. And you know, for us, we're really lucky to have such a successful junior class, along with our sophomore pitching. And then, you know, you have some key contributors, some younger guys, and they just have done a great job gelling.
We mentioned 14-2 in the month of May. What do you think you are, the LA Kings? It's hard in baseball to go 14-2. The best team can lose to the lesser team on a lot of occasions. What does it take to put it all together at the end of the year like that?
I think it's just keeping the task at hand and what your goal is. And I think our goal at the end of the day is to be in this position, you know, and at the end of the month, you know, we're fighting for a Pac-12 championship. So that's always first and foremost, and then win your regional, and then win your super, and then, you know, go win the national championship. So, you know, the goal is the goal's, you know, right in front of our eyes, and they've done a great job trying to attain it, and you know, hopefully we can get to Omaha here pretty soon.
With the Super Regional coming up this weekend at Jackie Robinson Stadium against TCU, I seem to vividly remember the Bruins playing TCU in the College World Series a couple years ago and it getting pretty testy. So what can fans expect? I'm sure TCU is going to bring a lot of fans out.
Yeah, and they travel really good. I mean, you know, Texas schools always, you know, the Midwest and the South, they do a great job of fan support, and we're expecting big crowds. Obviously, there's a chance to go to Omaha on the line, and it's going to be, I would assume, nothing less than a fiery competition, and it's going to be, you know, it could get a little hostile, I'm assuming, at times. But, you know, I think, you know, we just got to remember that we're competing, and at the end of the day, we just want to win the game. So, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of energy in the park. We're expecting that.
You finished the Pac-12 schedule with 3 against USC and swept the series. How much did that add to the confidence of the team going into postseason?
I think it added a great deal, especially repeating as Pac-12, you know, / Pac-10 champions. That was huge, and especially because we were going into the weekend, we were 2 games down. And we just try to win each game and try, you know, and then we minimize that and try to win an inning and then minimize that, try to win a pitch. And we just kept taking it in small doses. And you know, we looked up at the end of the weekend and we were Pac-12 champions. And that's kind of how our team has maintained their focus throughout the year.
At the NCAA Regional that Jackie Robinson Stadium also hosted, the first 2 games of the series, you got strong performances out of your starting pitchers, Adam Plutko and Nick Vandertide. When they pitch well and then the offense gets a big lead, what kind of confidence does that give the team going into the later innings?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think it's huge in terms of trust. We got a ton of trust in our pitching staff, and I think it's vice versa. I think our pitching staff has a ton of trust in our offense. So going in, really going back into any game, we trust each other, and no matter if we're down 3-0 or if we're up 3-0, I think we're all putting all the same end of the rope at the end of the day. So we just have that confidence. We never feel like we're 2 down, and we never feel like we're 2 up, which is good because it keeps us hungry on both sides of the ball, in terms of pitching and in terms of offense. And they just do a great job complementing each other, and you know, we'll try to get one this weekend.
Pitchers also have to have confidence that they don't have to throw it through the bat on every pitch, that their fielders are going to be there behind them. The Bruins infielders, who you work with, a spectacular year.
Yeah, they've done a good job. They have. They've really, really accepted the challenges. You know, we got a newcomer in Kevin Kramer who's done a good job. Shane Zeal's done a nice job. You know, Matt Giovinazzo and Pat Gallagher, along with, you know, Valleca and Kevin Williams, they've all done just an outstanding job. You know, then you add in a junior, Cody Regis, who has played in Omaha before, who has played 16 postseason games, and they have. It's been really good. They've bought into to, you know, the team. And, you know, like I've always said, good pitching complements great defense, and vice versa, great defense complements good pitching. It goes hand in hand. And but the best way to make a great defense is to really pitch. So that's kind of how I look at it. And you know, they've done a good job.
So towards the end of the season, Kevin Williams unfortunately went down with an injury, and you had to do a little bit of a Bruin shuffle, if you will, in the infield. Tell us a little bit about what the game plan was, moving guys from different positions over to different parts of the field.
Well, I think from September to now, and I really believe this, and not only do I, but you know, Coach Savage instills it into our program, is you try to be ready and you try to put your guys in any possible situation so when it does happen that we've already been through before. Fortunately enough for us, Shane Zeal has played second base before in inner squads. He has played an inning or two in a real game, just as Kevin Williams has played shortstop for us. So really what we try to do with those guys, and anytime you move players around, is go back to that time in November when you were playing and Adam was on the mound, or Nick was on the mound, or David, you know, you got to go back and use that experience. And really what we try to tell them is that you're veterans now, because it's already happened to you before. This isn't the first time you're playing second base or short or wherever. So, you know, we try to lean on the foundation of Coach Savage's program, and, you know, we benefited from it, and they've done a nice job.
Coach, you've mentioned the fall work that is so important. Coach Savage always mentions the work in September, October, November. I think fans look at February as the start of the season. Is that early fall work more important from a physical standpoint or from a mental standpoint for the team?
I think it's both. I do. I think it's both in terms of mentally and physically, because you're putting in your foundation of your program. You're putting in throwing programs. You're putting in bullpen routines. You're putting in offensive situations, defense. You're putting in your whole system, a lot of your system anyways, in the fall. So I think in terms of a foundation, that's big when it comes into March, April, May, and June. And that's just the side that a lot of people don't see. You know, a lot of people think we put this stuff in sometimes in January, but in terms of mentality, you establish that early, and you establish that when they get on campus right away and say, hey, this is what UCLA baseball is about. And then physically, you know, I think it's just trying to endure them during the, you know, the 30 days of team practice that we do get. You know, I think it's in, you know, you try to make it as tough on them as they can, so when it does come game time, you want the games always go a little bit smoother than the practices. So,
Coach, you're not that far removed from your playing days, and I know you're very active in the fall out there on the field with the guys. When you get into the regular games, you're in the dugout and you can't get out there and play. Is it hard for you to sit and watch the games?
A little bit. I pace a lot. I always stand next to Coach Savage, and I pace a lot. So, you know, it's good. It is tough sometimes, but, you know, there's a reason why I've always believed that the game checks you at the appropriate time, and, you know, this is our time to be teachers and instructors. And so, you know, it's fun to watch these kids play, and they've done, like I said, this team has done such an outstanding job, and all these kids and the coaching staff, and we really love our team, and they've done a great job.
Since you were a player, you've had that experience of being out there on the field in a pressure situation, having that ground ball come towards mm-hmm. you and maybe take a bad hop. Tell us a little bit about how you teach your guys to recover when something might not go your way, because it happens a lot in baseball.
Yeah, and it does. It is an unfortunate part of the game, because you are failing most of the time, in the baseball world of it, at least. But I think the sooner you can get rid of it, the easier, you know, the transition will be to move on to the next pitch. And we're fortunate enough, we work with a sports psychologist, Ken Revisa. So, you know, Coach Savage instills certain aspects of the mental side in our program. And then we use Ken Revisa as well. So, and then as a coaching staff, you just keep implementing those same standards and the same sayings that Coach Savage and Ken use, and, you know, by the end of it, the guys really buy into it. Now, at this time, you're kind of just trying to build up their confidence and keep their confidence high, and they do the rest. They do a good job at picking each other up, and we, like I said, we work with Ken a ton, so Ken's around constantly, and, you know, he even works with us as coaches, because, you know, sometimes we don't release it as well as the players do at times, but, you know, it's just a constant, you know, just keep telling them to keep moving on. It's okay. You can get the next pitch. And, you know, and that's what we try to instill in these guys.
You spoke earlier about winning inning by inning, at bat by at bat, pitch mm-hmm. by pitch. Every pitch is a little mini battle in itself.
Yeah.
This time of year, it's all magnified. How do you keep the players from getting too overwhelmed by the moment of every pitch meaning so much in the tournament?
Well, I think if you can get them locked in on each pitch, I think that will help it. And you'll find out, our team does a really nice job. Our dugout does a nice job. Our guys playing, and it's you can see it. They just really want that one pitch, and they really want to win it. And they want to win it for UCLA, and they want to win it for their team. And, we always say no one pitch is going to make or break your season. It's about, it's about the nine-inning war in terms of the battle. But, how you're going to win the war is to win that one pitch. And that's what we try to have them focus on and the short-term and the long-term goals.
Coach Bruce, you are also incredibly involved in the recruiting process. How do you, especially in the fall, when you guys are practicing a lot, doing scrimmages, how do you balance all of the work that you do in recruiting with making sure you're out there on the field every day coaching up your guys?
It's a balance. It's a fine balance. Coach Savage has been doing this for 25 years, and I'm so thankful to learn from somebody like him and who's been so successful on the coaching side and the recruiting side. He helps us out in terms of assistance on how to balance it, how to balance, maybe do some early work with some guys or some late work, or what events to really go to or not. That's probably the easiest part I can say, is that we really lean on him a lot in terms of a boss and then obviously a mentor and a friend to help us adjust to recruiting and obviously trying to coach up your own guys as well. But, obviously it goes back again to coaching your guys is the foundation of UCLA baseball. And, we have a great staff, so when one guy is out, with the rest of them can just fill in. And I think that's a big deal, is trust.
For many years, we introduced UCLA as a baseball powerhouse. For many years, the Bruins had a lot of players who did well when they got into the big leagues, mm-hmm. but didn't have the great team success. That's different now. People look at UCLA as a team that is a national championship program. How much does that intangible weigh into the recruiting process and the interest that you get from people who want to come here?
It helps. There's no doubt. I mean, I think every young kid wants to come to UCLA. I think for the academic part, I think for the athletics. It obviously, like I said, it plays a huge part, and we just try to keep instilling the same thing. Hey, you're going to come here. You're going to develop. You're going to be academically superior than a lot of other people, and just the help that we get here on both sides of school and obviously sports. And we just, like I said, we just try to, it's a small pond that you try to pull kids out of. But there is a lot of interest to come here, and, that's what UCLA does to kids.
A great history of success on and off the field. Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck in the regionals, super regionals.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we'll come right back with more UCLA Bruin Talk after these public service announcements.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor women's tennis as our Team of the Week. Just falling short of the championship title, UCLA took second in the NCAA National Championships. Number one singles player Robin Anderson, a freshman, was a standout for UCLA in the finals by earning all tournament honors and was number one in singles. Courtney Dolheid and Pamela Montez earned all-tournament selection. Anderson is seeded number four in the NCAA singles tournament, as well as teaming with Skylar Morton in the doubles competition. Congratulations, women's tennis, and good luck. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
UCLA is not only known nationally, but it is a magnet for international students, incredibly diverse student population. And what a daunting experience for some coming for the first time out of their home countries for an extended time. Fortunately, there's someone who helps ease the transition. He's the assistant director of the DASHU Center for International Students. That's Jimmy White. pleased to have you join us on Bruin Talk.
Thank you. Glad to be here, and thank you for having me.
You think about the transition of a student having to come to a place that may be very, very different from where they were. It's wonderful that you have such a program to help ease that transition. Tell us about some of the things the center does to help those students from other countries.
Well, you know, we take care of the students from the proverbial cradle to grave. Once they get admitted and come to UCLA, we start them off by registering them properly with their visa and immigration requirements from Homeland Security. Then we try to integrate and immerse them into the American culture of UCLA, as well as the broader culture of Los Angeles and the United States. And we provide tremendous amount of assistance and help academically, emotionally. We refer them to the student service and facilities on campus that can help them get what they need at the times they need it. We provide programming, which I think our programming department under Jenny Weintraub is probably the best in the country by far. We have a good budget for programming, and they use it very wisely.
A lot of students at UCLA from other countries and a lot of athletes at UCLA. And boy,
yes.
You think the NCAA clearinghouse is tough. You mentioned the immigration and all of the Homeland Security requirements. You got to get all that done and get them here in time to participate with their team workouts. Sometimes there's got to be some time pressure on that.
There is, and the athletic department's very good at understanding what the rules are and providing the logistics to get the students here so that they can get settled in comfortably and be ready to roll with their sports.
Like Dave mentioned, UCLA attracts many international athletes as well as the regular student body. Why do you think UCLA is such a popular attraction for students all over the world?
Well, you know, we have so many things going for us here. Number one, we're a world-class academic institution. We have the number one sports history in the country by far. We have a great diversity of students and activities and organizations and facilities that students can take advantage of and get involved in, and they can grow because, you know, as you know, when you're a student, you're not just getting a degree, you're not just getting academics, you're learning who you are in the world, you're growing as a person, as a young person, finding your way in the world and making connections that'll be lifelong connections. So UCLA has a great attraction, the weather, the diversity of the environment and the beach, the desert, the mountains, et cetera.
How did you get involved in this aspect of campus life?
It goes way back when I was a kid and went into the military, and they put me in Germany for 3 years, and I got a taste of traveling abroad and meeting new people and experiencing new cultures and diverse types of food and stuff. I liked it a lot. And when I came out and went to school and came to law school at UCLA, of course, and graduated, I went back to Europe for 2 more years of postgraduate work. And I had 2 years of international student experience as a student. And I enjoyed the dynamic between the students and the schools abroad. And I felt like, you know, if I can get into that, I would be lucky. And I came back, and lo and behold, there was a job at UCLA for an assistant dean, and I took it. And I thought I'd work for 2 years, but it's been 34 years now.
It'd be tempting, I think, for a student from another country to find a try to find their compatriots, and there's a danger that they would be in a little bubble, kind of insulated, you know,
yes.
Slovakians hanging out with Slovakians.
Exactly.
How do you help the students get integrated into the entire campus community and learn a little bit about America?
The biggest challenge is, as you say, making sure that they get the full benefit of the diversity that we have available, and that's where the programming comes in. We provide trips to Yosemite, to the Bay Area, to Grand Canyon, to restaurants in different communities of Los Angeles, and we also invite domestic students to participate also. And we try to make sure that the international students are paired up with domestic students or with students from other countries rather than, you know, get into cliques themselves. And we even recommend that they try to live with someone in the dorm or roommate situation that's not of their own country, because it facilitates their language acquisition and such as that.
You have been here for 34 years, as you've mentioned, and you work so closely with so many international students. I'm sure you're still learning things every single day. What do you think is the most enjoyable part of your job? What makes you want to come into work every day and work with these international students?
You know, last night I was watching something on TV, and they said, it's wonderful to wake up every morning with the passion that, hey, I'm going to be doing something I really love to do today. And it's just been like that every day for all these years. Of course, there's challenges and problems to deal with and to solve. But I really enjoy that. And the thing I enjoy the most is that every day is different. Every day is a new challenge and a new experience. And I like watching the students over the years matriculate and graduate and come in and tell us how much we meant to them over the years of their experience in UCLA.
It must be very rewarding to have graduates contact you, maybe have gone back to their home country, but contact you about their experience. Do they keep you up to date on what's going on?
Many of them do, and it's very interesting because I was just in Houston last week at a conference, and I was walking through the exhibition hall, and somebody said, Jimmy, and I like, yes, and I looked, and it was a face that I know this person, but I don't remember the name. She says, I'm Christina from Spain. Remember me and my colleague and how you used to take care of us? And she says, now I'm working at a university, and I'm in charge of the international students. And she says, every time I get a real big problem, I remember how you handled us with our problems. And she says, it gives me a lot of strength. I said, wow. Amazing how these things come back in different ways, and makes me feel proud and very good about this.
Like we've talked about, I'm sure a lot of the international students do go back to their home countries and continue on with their adult life there, but I'm sure a majority of them also want to stay in the United States and create a career for themselves here.
Yes.
How do you ensure that when they graduate, they're ready to move on and be out in the real world here in the United States?
Well, you know, we give the complete experience of UCLA, and we also give them a lot of information about the transitions from student to work, and how they can, under the rules of Homeland Security, acquire a higher status in America, a worker status or a permanent resident status. So we provide workshops, and we invite outside lawyers and experts to come in and talk to them about transitional issues that relate to changing residence from their own country to America. And many of them do, as you say.
The UCLA men's basketball team is going on a tour of China this August. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest from students in China being exposed to UCLA wanting to come over here. Do you find that when a team does that and gets a high visibility profile, you get a lot more interest from overseas?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was with some of the coaches just yesterday and the day before, and we were talking about it, and it's such a great experience. And some of our own kids, I remember when one of the coaches and I were walking on the campus, and we saw Josh Smith, and I said, Josh, you going to China this year? And he goes, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never been outside the country. And I was like, this is great. But when they get overseas, they're ambassadors, not just for America, but for UCLA. And it generates a lot of interest for the kids, especially in China, where they're very knowledgeable and into basketball in general. And, you know, and one of the great Chinese basketball players of the past, Ma Jian, came to the United States to play ball for UCLA. He ended up playing for Utah instead, but he's over in
China. What, did he make a left?
He went to Utah and did very well. Donnie Daniels was his coach, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm.
The Dashu Center also sponsors the Blue and Gold organization.
Yes.
On campus. Tell us about that organization and how the two are intertwined.
The Blue and Gold is very valuable to the international community because they provide a lot of leadership in from the beginning. They help students understand what the campus is about. They provide tours, and they provide a lot of information that other places really don't have knowledge of or access to. The Blue and Gold staff and students that work on Blue and Gold, they're very, very extensively knowledgeable about UCLA and what it's all about. So they provide a great service for us.
Jimmy, thanks for coming on. Pleasure having you on and talking about this little-known aspect of UCLA.
Thank you very much. And it's been fun, as usual, and I appreciate you having me on.
And we thank you for joining us on UCLA Bruin Talk. For Allison Taylor and our entire Res TV Bruin Talk crew, I'm Dave Marcus, saying so long from Westwood. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.